Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Trade sponsored by Caper.io. Today we have Hilman. Hilman is the co-founder of Coach CRM and Closed Loop. Hilman, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Mustafa. Glad to be here.
So, you know, a brief background about yourself prior to starting Coach CRM for the audience, you know, what you've been up to.
Yeah, I'm happy to. So yeah, I'm the co-founder of Coach CRM, which is coaching software for sales teams. I'm also the co-founder of Closed Loop, which is a sales enablement strategy firm working with startups all the way through IPO, really, on sales strategy. And I'm also a partner in 212 Angels. For about 15 years, I have been a sales management consultant and a sales trainer and coach working with startups, working with larger organizations like Salesforce, SurveyMonkey, Box, Bill.com, et cetera. And we really spun out Coach CRM specifically because we had identified a need from our clients who were telling us that one of our programs through Closed Loop, which is a coaching program specifically with respect to training, creating process rigor, and creating a feedback loop in coaching conversations, was significantly moving the needle, more than even initial sales training, more than things like playbooks, more than things like LMS and onboarding. And in conversations with our clients, we came to realize, you know, hey, there's a software product here, because there's a huge void in the both in the marketplace as well as in companies with respect to how frontline managers are ensuring tactical execution of the things that are strategically important for their companies to be able to grow. So we spun out Coach CRM. We did a raise in January and we've been off to the races. We're early stage here, seed stage company with about 12 customers. And you know, we're marching our way towards a million ARR this year.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Amazing. You know, just amazing. Love the background, love the thing. So first half of this podcast, you know, I would love to discuss, you know, you started Coach CRM almost a year back, less than a year back. All right.
Correct. Far less. 6 months, I guess. Six months. But yeah.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure, you know, in this Coach CRM, the learnings of the COVID were also integrated, right? Because during COVID, when world was at a standstill, you know, sales is very in-person. I look after sales in my company. Prior to COVID, you know, for me, it was always, you know, being on the plane, doing miles every other day, jumping on a flight, like literally every time, right? But now things have evolved, things have changed a lot, right? So do you want to discuss on that, the transition? Do you see any between the sales happening over Zoom, millions of dollars, deals happening over Zoom? People are raising like millions of dollars over Zoom, never meeting them, right? So do you want to shed some light on that?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. There's a good study by Gartner that was done about a year ago, talking specifically about the threshold of buyers' willingness to purchase without having a salesperson in their office and in person. And it was way north of $500,000. And I think that that was a year ago. And I think now we're probably in a space where you can get most business done over Zoom, irrespective of whatever it is that you might be selling. So, you know, one of the challenges really, first off, you've got salespeople who might be a little upset that they're no longer getting their 1K and their miles, but you know, that optimizes your time because now salespeople can go back to back to back on Zooms. Zooms are no longer viewed as, and I'm using Zoom interchangeably with all of the other myriad video conferencing services out there. But now video conference is no longer stigmatized. It's no longer perceived as you're establishing less of a relationship, but it does pose some unique challenges for a salesperson. It also poses some unique challenges for a sales team. One of those being that the feedback loop, you know, if we're thinking about Coach CRM, one of the biggest issues is how do you ensure that when you've got new salespeople or even seasoned salespeople, you're able to maintain a dialogue and keep your finger on the pulse of what it is that they're doing all day long. How do you do that when you've got folks in different continents, different countries, and different cities around the world, and you're not sitting there listening to their calls? Your office isn't just outside of where their desk might be. They can't bop in and ask you a quick question and get some quick feedback. One of the challenges that we've seen in our own organizations, Closed Loop is on two different continents and 15 people in 14 different cities. And Coach CRM is on 3 different continents in 5 different cities. So we've always been this way. So some of the challenges with respect to a sales team is, how do you create cohesiveness? How do you ensure that tribal knowledge is shared? How do you ensure that there's a feedback loop around messaging and the types of things that you're hearing from your clients and your customers and your prospects? How do you ensure that there are not silos of communication, so that product engineering, if you happen to be a technology company, or the services delivery team, if you happen to be a services company, are all integrated in a way where the organization is operating like 2 hands, as opposed to operating like 2 completely different bodies. And then one of the big things for salespeople is, how do you create esprit de corps, and how do you ensure that you've got consistent motivation and an opportunity to have kind of what I call intentional informality? Meaning, if everything is in your calendar, then you have meetings from 8 o'clock until 7 p.m. and they're just box to box to box to box with specific things that you're trying to achieve, specific objectives in each of those meetings. Well, that's not really how a sales team works. Sales teams, if you watch them operate in person, are on sales floors, running back and forth between different people's desks, at the water cooler, talking to product, running over to marketing, seeing what's happening there. You lose all of that when you have a decentralized organization or people working remotely. So that's one piece. On the other side of the equation, you've got, how are you engaging with your prospects? So what a lot of people do is they figure, hey, if we have to work, if we're all working from home and we're no longer in the office, this means we have to go real big on technology. And I always say, you know, there's tons of technology out there to automate things. You can automate email, you can automate your calls, you can automate all sorts of things inside of the sales process. But if you haven't figured it out in analog yet, automation is just going to amplify something that you have no control over. And very quickly, you can poison the well of your prospects and your opportunities. So the biggest thing to do right now is just to ensure that you're leveraging as thin a technology stack as you possibly can, that you are not abdicating that responsibility to establish rapport, establish relationships, uncover pain, be able to clearly diagnose what's going on in your prospect's world and their job to be done and solve for that problem. That can be done. It used to be done by telephone. It can be done by video conference. And one day it'll be done by, I don't know, some kind of an avatar that gets beamed into your office. But ultimately, it's still a human to human relationship. And we can't err on the side of using too much tech.
No, totally agreed. Totally agreed. You know, loving how the conversation is shaping up, you know, but we have to keep these podcasts within 12 to 15. So second half of this, you know, I want to discuss, you know, with discussion around recession, you know, every other day we're happening, seeing, you know, layoffs happening, this stagflation, you know, people are talking about, okay, business is going to slow down. Some analysts are saying up to 18 months, right?
Yeah.
In this, you know, many forums and many individuals are saying, you know, the sales strategies are changing. It's all about nurturing and stuff like that, you know. So do you want, based on your experience, do you want to give any 3 pieces of advice to young founders, young startup founders who started like a year back ago or 2 years back ago, you know, and they're the one who are the most vulnerable, right? So, you know, okay, they're saving up on cash, but from a sales point of view, you know, any kind of strategies or advice you would like to give?
Yeah. So I'll tell you out of the gate, you know, the real disadvantage here is that never before in the history of time has there been a recession or inflation. So we have zero context around what to do. Of course, I'm being completely sarcastic. This is part of the market. This is what happens. So freaking out is obviously not the best course of action. How about studying history? That's a good place to go. If you look back, if you look at depressions and recessions, some of the biggest companies or some of the biggest gains have been made during these times. And they weren't made by the people who decided to tighten their belt. They weren't made by the people who figured, you know, let's take a scarcity mentality towards the marketplace and just hold on and see what happens. Now, granted, if you're in a hospitality industry or if you're in an industry that is heavily dependent upon oil and gas, there are things that you're going to have to do, right? But what you should be doing if you're smart is trying to identify the opportunity. A couple ways to identify that. One is, what problem can you uniquely solve right now for your customer? That might require you to pivot a little bit, based upon what your messaging was, based upon what your marketing was, based upon what your product, quote unquote, value proposition was 2 years ago. Maybe now there is another problem you can solve for a customer. I'll give you an example. There was an organization we were working with, which is a construction tech company. One of their biggest benefits of their product was their ability to ingest documents from myriad sources. They could take them from everywhere, whether it was a PDF, whether it was a blueprint, whether it was a doc, which is very important at the beginning of COVID for construction organizations, general contractors, to keep people from having to come down from a construction site into the trailer to review paper files, right? This was not what the company's value proposition had originally been. It was something entirely different around mobility of the workforce and digital transformation. But what we were able to do was to say, hey, this piece right now is critically important for your customers. So let's put that forward and let's start talking about how we're solving that pain of ensuring that folks aren't traipsing in and out potentially with COVID, spreading it across the job site. And then you've got huge delays and huge cost overruns, right? There is something like that that exists in everyone's organization today. The onus is on you as a founder to figure out what that is. The second piece, once you've identified problems, go out strong trying to solve it. Do what you can to serve those customers that you have already, to identify the customers that you're able to solve these problems for, and to ensure that you are constantly keeping a mind on growth. And again, like I said, get some advisors that are not telling you that the sky is falling, but are instead telling you that this is part of market economics, and understand how to approach that market in a fiduciarily responsible way that still has an eye towards growth, not just an eye towards self-preservation.
Got it. Yeah. So last question in regards to your own personal productivity. You know, salespeople are energetic by nature, you know, supercharged, super energetic.
Sometimes.
Right? Yeah. But they also, I have this term, you know, called founders blues, right? So there are days, you know, where founders just get hit by it. So a founder is supposed to be the most motivated. A founder is a salesperson by heart.
Yeah.
You know, they're selling the most motivated. Yeah. So they are the most motivated. You know, they have to keep the team motivated and stuff, right?
Yes.
But there are days as a founder when you're the most demotivated as well. Right? So that's what I call the founder's blue thing, you know. But everyone has their own productivity hack, you know, how to lift their mood up, what to do about it, or some kind of like a couple of daily routines, meditate, or maybe
sure.
Take it. So what keeps you motivated on a daily basis? You know, what's your three things you do in a day?
If you were looking around at this mortgage I have to support, you'd understand what keeps me motivated on a daily basis. But you know, that's one of the old jokes, right? They say, how do you keep a salesperson motivated? Tell them to spend outside of their means. But, you know, there are a couple of things. I'm a big believer in meditation. I meditate, twice a day. I have to say, though, I've had the experience of being a solo founder, and I didn't like it very much. I wasn't incredibly successful at it. Corey Bray and I have been partners. You know, he was a client of mine originally, and then we started a software company. Well, he started a software company that I joined. And then we started a services firm, and now we've started a software company, and we're also partners together in 212 Angels. And I got to tell you, I'm never at a lack of motivation because we have an accountability to each other. We also are, you know, we're fiercely tearing apart things to continue to iterate and get better inside of each organization. We are constantly brainstorming with one another. We're supportive of one another with not a huge overlap in the Venn diagram with respect to our skill sets, which I think is really important. And you know what? Ultimately, I wake up every morning in service to our customers, our clients, and our team. And that is my primary motivation. So this is just me, but I don't have a lot of time to kind of like wallow around and like I'm tired or the market this or the other. I look at what I can control every day. And if at the end of the day, I've done what is within my control, I feel pretty good. And some days that's less than other days, but every day, there is something that I know I can impact that moves the company forward, that moves our mission forward, that significantly impacts significantly benefits our clients and customers.
Got it. Wilson, thank you so much for being on the show. You know, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And we would love to have you on our webinars. So they're bigger, longer episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it would be amazing where other founders can learn from you. But thank you so much for being on the show. Take care of yourself and stay safe.
Thanks so much, Mustafa. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, and okay, I'm still getting the challenge of recording, how to stop the recording.
Well, at least it was recording. That's good enough.
So it's not stopping, but it's still being recorded. But no, it's amazing. Thank you so much. And I would definitely love to have you on one of our podcasts. And, you know, I'll be in the Bay Area around September, right? So I'll ping you if you're there, you know.
I won't be. By September, I'll be in Miami. But
I think I'll be in Miami around November. Then I'll definitely see you in Miami.
Do it. Let's do it. Let's do it on the beach.
let's do that. And do you still have a software house? You mentioned that, you know, you started a software business or something.
Yeah, the Coach CRM is a software company.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. It's a SaaS product, right?
Correct. B2B SaaS.
Okay. That's nice. We'll love to explore that.
That sounds good. Well, let me know. I'm happy to hop on a webinar, and I'm happy to meet up with you in person when you're in Miami.
Done. I'll see you then. Thank you
so much. Sounds good. Take care, Mustafa. Have a good night. Bye-bye.